Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive. We're taking this thing out on the road. It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour throughout the holidays. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Raven scratch-offs in the beginning. Then I'm going to get some candy cane scented tickets because I want my bag to smell like peppermint by the time I get to Costas and Gina Shock say, where are the candy canes? John Allen's coming out. I'm getting all my rock star buddies together. We're going to honor our dear friend Eddie Lauer, who's had a heart transplant and is doing well, but not well enough to come to Costas, but probably well enough to eat some of the carry out. I fully intend on sending Eddie some crab soup from Costas. Next Friday, we'll be at Gertrude's at the BMA, going upscale with my cousin John Shields, Chef John, who my son's wife is his cousin. So, like, it's really by marriage. And Dan Roderick's going to join us at Gertrude's. And then on the 22nd, we're going to be at Planet Fitness in Timonium. I'm going to import the Costas crab cake. They got a grand opening at Planet Fitness, and everybody should get in the great shape that I'm in for 2026. Mark Messina is my guest. He's my one of my favorite all-time guests, former co-host here and former roommate for a little while on Kane Street in East Baltimore. He joins us now as an elected official. I'll let him explain that to you in beautiful Montoursville, where he is still less famous than his brother. But it probably didn't hurt having Messina for county commissioner, like on signs, right? Your brother's helped you in that way a little bit, right? Maybe.
So I never like this is my first venture in, and I probably said this before, but there just aren't any Democrats here. So, and the way the system works is you have three county commissioners, but there can only be two of any one party. So there had to be a Democrat. So literally,
Is
there
that
were
like a
four
backdoor
people.
cover if you're a gambler? Like, sort of, yeah, a little bit.
A little bit,
Yeah,
yeah. It's
okay.
like the only the mayor of Williamsport is now a Democrat, but that hadn't been for a long time. But it's really like the only thing you can win. So, the other four people that were running at the time, I'd never heard of any of them. Or there were three people. I was the fourth. And in talking to people who know this stuff, they're like, "Listen, the goal, your first goal is to get your name out there." And the guy's like, "Your name's out there on steroids, even if they don't know who you are or who you are." But also, like in small town America, my mom was an OBGYN nurse for 35 years. So, like half of the women in like Cumming County have been through my mom's doctor's office. So, and just generation. So there's all that other stupid stuff too. Like, how many people, like obviously people know Mike, but there it's all these people like, "Oh, your mom was my nurse and they delivered this doctor delivered our kids." And so,
Well, you've never
yeah, all
left.
that
That's your
stuff really
charm,
helped.
dude. That's what I love about you. You know, like it like you wouldn't consider. You even imported a wife from Baltimore. You know, like and children. Now your kids are all left, though, right? So I see you doing the. You know, I've been an empty nester for a long time, as you know. Lots of ways an empty nester. But you're finally like free and clear of children. And you raised the family up there too,
It's
right?
different.
Your kids
And
went
I
through
actually,
school, all that, right? Yeah.
I'm going to my son. My youngest is a freshman at Pitt, and I'm going to pick him up tonight. His last in-class final is tonight from 6 to 8. So we'll get on the road at 8:30, and we'll get home by 12:30 or whatever. And then I think he has one more assignment that's due that he can upload by Friday or something like that. But yeah, so it is different. It is when you go from, I've told people three kids to two kids, it's two kids, even two kids to one kid. You still one to zero. And now it's like, wow, there's no
How
one
did that
here.
happen? You know, right?
Yeah.
Well, I called to talk sports, and you can go and check out county politics. And how many votes did you get to
Yeah, I
win?
don't even know.
Hundreds or thousands? Hundreds, right?
Oh, thousands.
Thousands.
Yeah,
Okay, it's a bigger
there's
than I
like
think. Okay.
100,000 people in the county.
Okay, it's a nice size county, even by Maryland standard. That's a nice size county. It's not small.
Yeah, we're big. There's like 67 counties in Pennsylvania. We're in the bigger half.
Okay.
So,
How many schools in that county? That would probably high schools.
eight.
Okay. All right. I mean, that gives me a little bit of a scope. So, because people think they don't know where you are. They know the Little League World Series and like, but I've been lucky enough to drive through Montoursville and Williamsport many, many times and Lycoming and places I can't even pronounce the right way.
Lucky enough,
Yeah,
that is
I know. But
well
so
said.
you want to do baseball or football? Like, what's on
Whatever
your
you want,
mind?
man.
What's
I'm
on your
good.
mind? I mean, like, you want to do Lamar? What's on your mind?
Well, Well, I'll say this. I was just thinking this before we went on. I don't say the NFL needed this because, but when you look and we wake up here on December 9th, and you're looking at Kansas City's not going to make the playoffs. At least it looks that way.
Lamar Jackson might not make the playoffs.
Who?
Lamar Jackson might not make the
Correct.
playoffs.
I mean, one of the Ravens might not be in. And you're looking at who, like, is Denver really good? Is New England really good? Is Jacksonville good? Like, what about are the Bears? Can the Bears, what, Seattle? And it's such a crazy, like, yeah, there's Josh Allen. And he's still, but he's a wild card. They're gonna be a wild card. And it has been so turned on its head. And I think, from the AFC world that, it was just Mahomes and Andy Reid, and they were going to be there. And it just kind of, I think the Chiefs have become a little bit of like Duke basketball. They do it right. They have lovable players. Nobody's out, getting arrested or breaking laws. And Andy Reid's doing commercials now. Who would have ever thought Andy Reid would be doing commercials? But they've been so good and so right, we're sick of them. And we just want to see somebody else.
We got there with the
And
49ers, we got there with the Patriots, we got there with the Bulls, like
exactly, all of those teams. You're just, yeah, we've done it right. And it's funny that people always they say they have their moral high ground and then they hate Duke basketball. But like, why do you hate Duke? Like, they do it right. They have kids that are now that they have a lot of one and doners now. But these kids, you can tell they can all read. They all have graduated, they graduated high school, and they play the game right and they play the game well. But we get sick of them because we got bored with them. So I think Kansas City was that in the NFL, and then the whole Taylor Swift thing was a lot of fun for a while. But they need some new blood. And for Kansas City, who would have ever thought they would miss the whole playoffs? And they might. So it's really, really been fun, I think. And I don't think people still don't even know what to make of it. New England or Denver, they could have a bye in the first round and home field all the way through. And half of American football fans, diehard football fans, would be going like, yeah, they're not that good. And they might be right. Who knows?
I'm a guy that reads books on the ownership and has attended the owners' meetings, and I'm into their pudding in a big way, into the revenue and how they're doing it and my whole entrepreneurial spirit of all of this stuff. And I could question a lot of things about the Ravens, and I have, and I will continue to do that in regard to leadership and honesty and integrity and where it is and all that. And obviously, I've made a living here, sadly, being the pulpit bitch space for the Orioles being awful and awfully run. And also in baseball, and this is where you and I don't need to tell you, it's where we come from, you and me and your brother. I mean, your brother left here because it was a disaster and they didn't have the money to really compete, because it begat its own disaster. They didn't have money because they were disaster. It started okay and they destroyed it. I mean, over 30 years. And so the baseball thing here hasn't been great from an ownership perspective. The football thing's perceived as being great until you peel back the onion about how the organization has treated women, the Ray Rice scenario, the Justin Tucker scenario, just the fact that I don't have a press pass anymore and nobody in the world knows why and they're asking me instead of Chad Steele. So I look at the bar being lower, but you're a Cowboys fan. And the one thing you always said to me about your brother, and you're on the record with this about when he went to the Yankees, was like, you could hate George, hate his kids, hate this, hate that, but like they're trying really hard and there's nothing that's not first class because they have the money to make it for. They don't sit around and hem and haw about what they're going to do and what they go get players, they do. And we can say that about the Dodgers too to some degree. But your Cowboys are Bisciotti's North Star, right? I mean, he took Dick Cass to be his president because Dick Cass was Jerry's fixer in the 90s with all the deals and all the Pepsi versus Coke and all the I'm going to create a new way. And all these years later, you're a Cowboys fan. My buddy Dave Muir, anybody else out there that loves the Cowboys, they're a bit of a punchline, right? For the have you ever been to the thing that they built down there? Luke and I went to that training facility.
No.
Dude, it's unbelievable. I mean, and it's bloated, and they are like Trump, sort of this incarnation of bloatation of what you would make fun of and saying they have all of this, all of that, all of that, and a nude ring finger. And if they don't get that, they'll just buy a trophy and put it on the thing and say, we won something. Because the Cowboys, to me, but they are what everyone chases, like Disney in the entertainment space. They're all chasing the Cowboys because the Cowboys, we do it right down here. We got, and even the Yankees haven't won anything in a long time. It is a fascinating thing of what we want from franchise ownerships in small town Baltimore or big league, NFL or New York or wherever it is. But you're one of the smartest people I know, and you're still a Cowboys fan. And I rectifying it, making it all make sense when they're dealing Micah Parsons the day before the season, and the fact that they haven't won a playoff game since whenever, and the Steelers fans are all up in arms and yelling about Tomlin. People are yelling about Harbaugh. We're all spoilt. You're a Cowboys fan, dude. You ain't spoilt, I know that much.
Well, I'm one of the guys that I actually like the Parsons trade, depending on what we get in return, because like they weren't winning with him. And their run defense in his 4 years was there that he was there was in the lower half of the league. And he's a great player. It takes me back to the Herschel Walker trade. Like, he's a great player, but we're not winning with him. So can we get a collection of things that help us get better as a roster? But you can tell, like, what when it gets down, and I learned this, in real estate when I was the one boss I had. So when you get down with your client's got all these things. They're talking about trips and paying off credit cards and housing, and you're like, well, what is your goal? What is your number one goal? And you can tell Jerry Jones's number one goal is to be like the show. Jerry loves to be part of the show. If you would have told Jerry you can win five Super Bowls over your era, but you have to stay in the background, and Bob Kraft doesn't totally stay. I mean, no owner stays totally in the background even when they're successful. But like, look at Kansas City's owner. He just like, you see Andy Reid doing commercials, you see it. And Jerry wants to be the show. And because of that, that is his number one goal. And he'll tell you winning is, but it's not. Like, he liked to win, and everyone would like to win, but that it's one of the other things you see. You see it in sports, you see it in life, you see it in like when you sit down with like a restaurant owner. What do you want to have the best food, or do you want people walking into your restaurant telling you how cool it is so you can shake hands? And
Or
because
you
in
want to
one
make the
place
most money.
where are you grinding? Are you grinding in the kitchen? Are you grinding over the ingredients? Are you grinding over the ordering and the budgeting and the payroll? Or are you grinding over what do I wear that I look good? Who do I invite? And those, it's just where is your number one focus? And the Cowboys' number one focus is not on the quality. Now, it's amazingly, they've done enough to stay good. But, and they've even had advantages. Like, when you go to roll this back to the Ravens, the best thing that has happened to the Baltimore Ravens, other than that they've drafted some absolute home runs from Ogden to Lewis to Lamar, whatever. But the whole state of Ohio, with what Cincinnati, the mess that they've been, and Cleveland, the perennial mess that they've been, has made their division really easy. Well, you look at the Cowboys, what the Giants have been for the most part of a while, and what the Reds or Washington, whatever they're called now, has been, it's just been the Eagles, and the Cowboys can't get over the hump. So I don't know. Though there's a lot when you talk about historically, you look at the time when the Niners were great, their division stunk. When the Patriots were great, their division stunk. So there's a lot of you look at what Buffalo could have been on a Super Bowl level, but they happened to be great the same time Mahomes and Andy Reid were great. And timing in life, as we all know, matters,
Well, this is
and
where
it's mattered.
Jacksonville and Chicago and some of these long-suffering fan bases, I mean, even the Chargers, this week say, well, maybe we'll be in the championship game this year. Jacksonville's been there a couple times. Bears been to Super Bowls, but the struggling Nobody's struggling more than the Cowboys, and nobody's made more money than the Cowboys.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, we've been in the playoff. We're a 500 team every year, almost.
So, like, the
One year
Steelers
Dak
say
got
that
hurt.
too, and they want to fire the coach over that.
Who?
Steelers are 500 every year, or, you know, hey,
So you'll
Tomlin
appreciate
hasn't
this.
had a sub 500 year in 20 years, right?
You'll appreciate this. I'm in local Buffalo Wild Wings watching the Ravens Steelers game. There's 4.5 minutes to go, and I'm sitting with a bunch of Steeler fans up here. I have a Baltimore friend here as season ticket, so he was at the game.
Are there Ravens fans inventory? It's
A couple. There's a couple.
is it Steelers, Eagles? Buffalo, Jets, no.
No.
Giants, no.
A little, but it's Steelers Eagles.
But you always said to me it was always Yankees, like for your from baseball.
Yeah,
Not
Yankees
necessarily
Phillies.
Phillies,
It's
right?
Yankees Phillies.
Okay, Yankees, Phillies. Okay.
But it's so I'm sitting there with these guys. It's a close game, 4.5 minutes to go. And I said, what I'm really excited about is to see who loses so I can go on Facebook and read how their coach is the dumbest person alive. That's what I was excited about because it is incredible how Steeler fans think Mike Tomlin is the dumbest person on earth. I think it is incredible how Ravens fans, think, John Harbaugh should have been fired, 10 years ago. It is like you people don't know. We had Dave Campo as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Like Dave Campo. I read a thing, and I don't know how good the Schottenheimer is now, but there was a list, preseason list that some genius did online, ranking the NFL coaches, and Schottenheimer was last. The Dallas Cowboys had the worst coach in the NFL, according to this guy. Now, as it turned out, that he was—I don't know how he was worse than Brian Daboll, but whatever. But it is people get so spoiled, and we saw it here with Penn State football that good isn't good enough, and I get it. Like making the playoffs and losing in the playoffs year after year after year is depressing. You know what's even more depressing? Don't make the playoffs for a
Be a
while.
Maryland football fan.
Exactly. And I'm curious to see where the Steelers end up, because at the end of there, that Roethlisberger was hiding so many fail. The days of Le'Veon and Antonio Brown. I mean, these guys are, Antonio Brown's one of the best five receivers in NFL history. Now he's a lunatic, and who knows what's going on. But it's like you win with elite talent. That's what these teams have. And you look at like the Steelers roster, and I was like, I don't understand why you think you're good. And that's the thing with the Ravens roster, especially offensively. The elite talent is one, and it's the quarterback. I think with the Eagles and the Ravens, their offenses are very ordinary if the quarterback isn't rushing for 60 yards a game. And I think the Eagles are trying to just keep Hurts healthy. And I'm not buying that Lamar is really healthy yet. But these guys cannot stand in the pocket like Brady, like Rodgers, and win. I mean, they have Josh Allen couldn't even do it. If Josh Allen doesn't run, he's not that. That's what makes him great
This is what I
because he has
thought
a.
when they had 2-minute offense and why the 2-minute offense fell apart on them in the Steelers game. I have no confidence that Lamar Jackson in this offense can push the ball 80 yards down the field and win a game with 2 minutes left to go and three timeouts. I don't see it and feel it. I haven't felt it in the way that I see it in John Elway. I see it week after week where these miracle Flacco could do it in good years, but it's an ensemble cast. And when your line is no good, I mean, the Ravens, both of their lines have gotten pushed around most of the year, especially after Matt Ebike left. The pass rush is non-existent. This is looking at this reminds me of an old Dan Snyder team, right? Oh, I'm going to get Dion back there and I'm going to get, Bruce Smith over here and I'm going to have all stars. And yeah, who's going to protect your quarterback? Who's going to run the? Who's going to be blocking for Derrick Henry? And who's going to be giving time for D Hop and these Hall of Famers to get the ball and Zay Flowers and all of that? Mark Messina is our guest. He's one of my favorite people to chat sports with. He is up in Pennsylvania. I only get him on once or twice a year because he's busy and doing things and probably writing more movies and books and stuff that he does, in addition to being the county commissioner up in PA. Lamar, you think Lamar is going to win? I mean, you sound down on Lamar a little bit.
I just think
I
he's
was
hurt.
always down on quarterbacks running into linebackers for this
I
very
love
reason.
Lamar. I hate the national abuse that he takes because I mean obviously in the playoffs it hasn't gone great. It reminds me of like Andy Reid was like that in Philadelphia. Yeah, he's a good coach, but he can't win. And fortunately, Andy Reid as a coach, you get to do it for 30 years. He did, and he got to Kansas City and all of a sudden he won, and now nobody says that anymore. You know, the lifespan of a quarterback isn't that long. But I don't think Lamar is 100% healthy. And I think they're trying to get through this. And if he can listen, if he gets in the playoffs and Lamar is the guy that you can't catch in the open field, you can't hit him in the open field, if he is that guy again, the Ravens offense becomes dynamic like that because he's never done it with Hall of Fame receivers. He's never done it with I mean Henry's good running back, but he's not when you look at like a guy like Peyton Manning, and you start rattling off the talent that he had around him. You know, Lamar's never had that talent around him. Lamar has been the talent. I just don't think he's healthy, and or he's trying to milk. And this is one of the other things from having, you know, lived with an athlete and been related to an athlete. Lots of times when you get hurt during the season, especially early in the season,
You wrote a very
you're
poignant
never.
piece about your brother, by the way, which is a great transition because you literally wrote this today or yesterday, right?
I
Like
wrote it
maybe,
last night. Yeah.
okay, all right.
Yesterday was his
Well,
birthday.
for, not everybody follows Mark Messina on Facebook, so
They
I tell
should. I
your
don't know
story, but you
why.
should, yeah.
And but like you don't get healthy. You don't get really healthy until the season ends. Unless you broke something and you're shut down for 6 weeks. Then all your other stuff can heal and by the time your broken wrist or whatever.
That's why the
But
Burrow
like
thing's crazy the last 2 weeks coming back from that injury.
yes.
That's really hard to do. Hard to
Like
come back and ever look good again, right?
I don't think Lamar is going to be really good again until April when it's all said and done and he gets to heal up. And I think right now he just trying him and the offense is trying to do the best they can with the guys like, you know, he and he pulled it, you know, he had the rushing touchdown. He'll get one or two a game, but he's spending way more time in the pocket than I ever remember seeing him. And I think he can do it in a burst here and there, but he can't do it. He can't have 10 rushes a game right now. I don't think he can do it and survive. Not the season.
Mark Messina is here, and I guess a good transition to baseball and the Orioles in the offseason. And, you know, I always put the dipstick in with you. I don't know the last time I had you on. It probably was like spring or so. I don't remember when I had you on last time. It's fluid with the Orioles and, you know, obviously the end of the year with Rodgers and Bradish and how they pitched and what the expectations are going to be next year of them and what the expectation of the franchise is this week. At the owners' meetings or the winter meetings, or even in the next 6 or 7 weeks, to what the Orioles are going to extract out of the free agent market that somebody else wouldn't be willing to pay more for, and where the level of needs are. And I don't know if you were shocked by the Grayson Rodriguez deal, but we kind of were. And it kind of speaks to me to saying they didn't like that kid if they were going to get rid of him for an outfielder, you know, for an outfielder rental for a year. That they didn't believe in him, or they just thought this isn't the spot for him.
Well, the Rodriguez one was interesting because you just in knowing him, somebody must have just decided like he's just not going to stay healthy, and which is like it, that's what makes this stuff hard. Like you're trying to make this prediction. I think one of the things that is that I think and they're in a tough spot. You know, they're like the Rays when they're going up against the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Rays have kind of. You know, figured out how to compete a little better consistently than the Orioles have. But I think the Orioles have had some dumb bad luck. And you know, when you look at the Chris Davis numbers, when Chris Davis was good, and then they give him that long-term deal, and then just to see where he fell apart to, like nobody saw that coming when he was, I mean, his numbers were silly for a couple of years. And you know, then if you don't sign that guy and you let him go and he keeps putting up those numbers somewhere else, then you're like, well, what are
We
you
did. Then you
doing?
hope you sign Nelson Cruz instead, and they didn't.
Yeah, well, but if you do sign him and he fall, and I think right now when you're looking with Adley, like, 2 years ago, he was the toast of Baltimore. And this guy's going to Cooperstown. And, since he's come up, we never get swept in the pitching thing. And now all of a sudden you're wondering, like, I mean, I know he had some injury problems too, and those are the things, but now you're wondering, is he even a good big league catcher right now? Whereas before, you're like, he's going to be a 10-time All-Star.
They gave $78 million to Bisaio last summer just to do something. I Moose, I keep talking about this here, and I know this is not your lane, but it kind of is a little bit. How the revenue goes and where the team is and what these rich guys who have no affinity for ball, they're full of manure. Rubenstein and Arrighetti's already made a bobblehead of himself and showing himself at press conferences. And Elias is arrogant. I'm going to go see Katie Griggs speak on Elvis's birthday for the Connects group. I paid $100 to hear her say basically nothing last month at an event. And I'm seeing the way the money would be tied to the payroll because that's the next thing that comes down the pike from any ownership group. Hey, you got to buy the tickets if you want to spend the money. And we're building the bird cage bird. We're throwing the Jim Henneman press box. We've destroyed that. And we're going to do the bird cage in there. And we're going to charge everybody $1,000 to come eat meat and drink free beer that's not free behind home plate. And everybody's going to want to come. I mean, it's corporately run, which I go back to everybody's chasing Jerry Jones, right? They're not about being a local organization. They're about Jerry, and we're going to make Pepsi and Coke fight over us. And that's been the Oriole mentality forever. And it is amazing to me that John Angelos is off counting. Like, your brother got rich. He did nice playing baseball. You can look up his numbers. John Angelos is off counting $1.8 billion, and these guys pocketed it, funded it, and now they need something to pay for it. And they're in a division where they thought the Yankees and Red Sox were big boys, and Toronto just put a country on its back. And now they're going to be in the way, whether you like the Dylan Cease deal or not. That's either way, they're going to have that kind of coin. You're not just in it against the Yankees and Red Sox. There's another third party in the division that's going to spend more money than you are by 1, 2.8. I don't know. I mean, how much money are they going to spend and what difference does it make? And every time I talk to the smart baseball guys like you, and the nerds like Luke, it's, well, they don't have to spend a lot. They need to spend wisely. They can't afford to make mistakes around the edges. They can't afford to have a Chris Davis deal. They can't afford to deal Grayson Rodriguez off and have him be Jake Arrieta 2 years from now. I'll tell you that. They can't afford that because they don't have the money for that. So I'm trying to figure out what they are in the way that these two guys put all their money up to get in here. The fans all went away. Moose, I can't begin to tell you how pissed off the fans are about the 13-game plan, and like they're blocking old school fans on Twitter for just being like WTF, you know? Like they have no awareness of their brand in the marketplace at all as the Ravens sort of dissipate and fall apart and there's money here, and they're gonna tie at some point. Attendance, revenue, media, where's your money? Where's your subscriptions? Are you subscribing to our new Masson, whatever it's going to be? And I'm trying to figure out the business model. I'm trying to figure out what these guys think they have in the Baltimore Orioles, where all this money's coming from that's going to fund Gunnar Henderson's $350 million deal or who whatever the next thing they're going to do, or a pitcher they're going to sell, whatever they're going to do. But chicken egg, winning. Money, winning, and then there's just the do they even know what they're doing? Because they're going to have to do it a lot better. Their knife's going to be a lot sharper than the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Blue Jays on where they spend their money and decisions they make that are going to greatly affect the next 2, 3, 4 years of where they are. This was supposed to be the good time, right? Low salary, high ceiling on all these young guys, and none of them, Gunnar Henderson maybe. None of them have turned the dial. They're a last place team. That's what they're selling in this community these
Well, that,
days.
I mean, there's a call. And another thing that when you're talking about attendance, and I talked about the bad luck that I think the organization has hit, at no fault of their own. What COVID did, like when I remember back in the 90s, when, how many people worked in downtown Baltimore, and you're like, hey, we got tickets, and you walk over, And what COVID did, and the working at home model now, and the working remotely, and what it has done to attendance, because I can't
Proximity's
believe,
power, right? Literally, right?
So it's, and that's something that you would have never thought, in the 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that like, hey, a lot of these offices are going to be empty. And because, so all these business guys who are like, yeah, I'll work till six, we'll get a ticket, we'll walk over, we'll get a, because
Take some
that happened.
clients.
It happened all the time. It happened all the time. I mean, player development is a huge thing for a team like the Orioles. Player development, scouting, like you have to draft well. And when you get these kids, I don't know. One of the things that nobody ever talks about in baseball is like the teaching of these kids. Who is teaching? How good are the teachers? Because one of the things to go way back to Mike, when Mike was at AAA, his pitching coach was Dick Bosman, who ended up being a big league pitching coach for 100 years. And I know that he had an issue with out of the stretch. He was too slow. And Bosman sat him down and they talked about it. And he's like, these are what you have to, and he came up with a quicker stretch. So runners just didn't, because in college, it was just different. I couldn't name you a coach in the Orioles minor league system, but there are these kids. When you look at any good pro, you look at a good high school athletic program, they have good coaches down at the lower levels who are getting the kids, who are developing, and even dealing with the off the field stuff, and what it's like to be a 19-year-old kid away from home, and those are things that are vital. And I think any successful organization needs that, and especially when you're the Rays or the Orioles or the Royals or teams like that, that's where a lot of your emphasis needs to go. You need to have great at that. You need to have great minor league pitching coaches, and it can't be the old boys club that baseball has been for 1,000 years.
Yeah, I
And
certainly saw that. Like when Davey Johnson came in, I mean, Pat Dobson was not Ray Miller. Yeah, it just wasn't. You know what I mean? Just totally different, right? I mean, your brother worked for both of them, I guess. Now I'm thinking about it. Sometimes I forget who I'm talking to. Mark Messina is here, brother to the stars, brother to Hall of Famer Mike Messina. So talking baseball with you is like, I don't. Why we always leave with football when you're such a baseball guy? I don't know, but you've forgotten more about baseball than maybe anybody I know outside your brother. But the Orioles are in a weird spot here right now. This is a these new guys coming in, putting all this money in, and maybe not even being able to buy the players. I started to hear stuff 2 weeks ago, Moose, that made me think of Angelos for the first time in a long time, which when like we're in on him, we're in on Teixeira, we're in on him, we're in on Messina. Too much money. That's what he said about your brother, which is like effing insane 25 years later, and he's been dead 2 years, 3 years, whatever it's been. But like I just can't imagine it being a lot different for these guys. These guys are a little in over their head. They don't know anything about baseball. This Arrighetti guy's a fan, and like I bragging on the dace about winning his fantasy league. I'm like, oh shit, like, but they said they're gonna spend money, and the fans that are here are sort of hey, do something to get us excited. I don't know that that's going to make anybody buy a season ticket book. I don't know even what their business plan is. And then Moose, all of this drudgery that I can take us through going into the year and all that. Then there's the labor dispute. I mean, and I'll just throw that. You and I go back to Lords of the Realm and your brother being a player rep and Jimmy Poole, the late great Jimmy Poole. Nothing's changed there. I mean, we're sitting here and we're talking about next year, trying to have enthusiasm about a last place team, new ownership, failing prospects, just all of that. And then there's, well, these guys just bought the team. I wonder if they even knew that they did the research on the labor problems in this sport for 40 years. Because I'm convinced Angelos bought the team. What do you mean? We'll just beat their ass. They're, yeah. Oh, they are the union. I'm a union. Well, we'll beat the owners' asses. And that's kind of pretty much how it went 30 years ago, right?
Well, I mean, one thing, and I know the Orioles did look like they were set up better 2 years ago than they look now.
And I
Halladay's
can't
just a
blame
kid.
Peter for that, even though I just did a pretty good Peter that makes you laugh every
Well,
time I do it.
I mean, Halladay's still just a kid. Like, Like, what's he doing when he's 25, 20? I mean, there are guys. Curt Schilling's a great example. Curt Schilling was not, was not turning heads at 22, but it takes some of these guys a little while to figure it out. And this kid got thrown out there when he was super young. So,
I think Holiday's fine. I mean, and his dad was the one who changed his stance last year. So to your point, how good is my coaching when my dad's changing my and
Well,
your dad?
but I
Like
and
your brother,
I
if your
there's
brother changed you in the stretch, you'd have to listen to him, I think, in this
there
case.
there are it's just weird though. There are things to be said. I mean, I had conversations with Mike during his career where just about things, about pitch selection, because I'm watching it harder because the pitching coach has 13 guys on the staff, and you're just like, I had one guy on the staff, and I heard a famous story. It's famous to me. I probably no one else ever heard it. Keith Hernandez was talking, and he was in a slump. And I don't remember if he was a Met or a Cardinal during this time. And for those of us who are old enough to remember Keith Hernandez as a Met and a Cardinal,
Google him.
and he said
Some people
he
just
was
remember
just
from Seinfeld, but that's another
well.
story.
So he's in a slump. And his dad calls him. And his dad's no big league player, whatever. And he's like, listen, and this is how I remember the Keith Hernandez was number 17. And that is how I remember him. Because he said, and Keith Hernandez, left-handed hitter, and his dad said to him, when you're going well and you kind of roll into your swing, I can see a little bit of the one on your back. I can always see the seven. But when you're going well, I can see a little bit of the one. I can't see the one right now. And Hernandez is like, I give it, and I sit back. And it was just that little thing from his dad, who's watching bat more than anyone else. And so there are those things, and not
Did
to
you help your
Jackson's
brother
dad.
get to the Hall of Fame? This is your chance. Come on now. Did
Yeah,
you
I
give him
mean,
that? Are you going to put that on Bosman, that tweak? Or
there are those little things that I'm not surprised Holiday's dad, said something that helped. I'm not surprised, and now that his dad does have a little bit of a resume of his
by
own,
the
but
way, your kid was a pitcher, right?
yeah,
Did he listen to your brother or you?
me he it was
Who famously told me you couldn't throw a party?
it was just different. Once upon a time, that's a whole fascinating dynamic. Because my kid was not my kid looked way more like Jamie Moyer's kid. He's left-handed. He was a soft tosser, change-up curveball, a slopper. But and when he figured it out, because a lot of times Mike was in the dugout, Mike's calling his pitches, and it wasn't always like, that's not what I want to call, and I'm shaking him off, and he's giving the same. So
Mike
it was
managed your kid. No,
you.
you.
On the high school team, Mike coaches in Little League and all that stuff I did. But
And
on the
then you
high school
gave him to
team.
your brother?
So it was,
Wow. This is comp and he's left-handed. Wow, this is comp.
he
This
was
is
left, like
your next movie, Moose. This is your next book here, man.
he was way more, he was way more Jimmy Key than he was Mike Messina. And it was interesting.
I
And
was with
his
her
senior
Joey Porter's
year.
kid. I wonder about that.
What'd you say?
Joey Porter's kid. He plays different position. You know what I mean?
Little
Like
different position,
built a little different. That's all.
but it is. I mean, it's and baseball is so hard, and like the difference between success and failure. You see guys like, I mean, some of it you get the Hall of Famers that are good every year, and then you get a guy like Melvin Mora who hit 360 one year and never repeat. You get a guy like Brady Anderson who hit 50 home runs one year, although I mean, the ball was a little lively in '96, and the stats will show up, but. There's I don't know, and that it did Adley Rutschman have that right out of the gate, and then is he ever going to get it back? Those are the crazy things that and I don't know if it's just bad luck, if it's just because baseball is hard, if it's the coaching and the player development. I don't know. I will say one thing. I thought The general manager drafted, that like 2 years ago, the Orioles looked like they were ready. And as we've talked about, some of the guys didn't pan out. I thought it was an interesting hire at the beginning because he comes from Houston, and I know Houston had won, but for those of us who know a little bit about the United States, Houston is like the fourth biggest city in the, it is a huge market. And even though historically, baseball-wise, it hadn't done all that well, it is a huge market. Like, I would have thought the Orioles would have gone more of a money ball. Like, how's Tampa doing it? What Oakland used to be doing and what they've struggled with now. The Kansas Cities of the world. It's like,
Well, I mean, Luke always says that their North Star should be the St. Louis Cardinals. And I'm like, that's a nice thought, but they play with the Pirates and these other slugs.
they do,
You
but
you're in a
I also
division,
know.
you're in a, you we talked to the Cowboys and the Giants, and you're in the division with the big boys when you're in with the Yankees, and certainly in this sport where the money's 2 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 8 to 1. And it will be once the new media deal gets done and all of that. The Yankees are, and they're, all those teams are always going to outspend you. So you need to be really, really shrewd at the player development level because you're never going to have the money.
And I think St. Louis, the unfair thing, St. Louis for a long time, until the Dodgers and the Giants went west, St. Louis was the furthest west team. And I'd heard, and I don't know if that was, they had the largest radio
They did,
network.
KMOX, they did, yeah. That's the truth.
So St. Louis has a regional fan base that is all over the Midwest.
For
And when
80
you
and
think
90-year-old people that were around, probably in the same way that the Cubs and the Braves picked people up our age in Albuquerque because they didn't have it, right? I mean, and they were on television, and maybe even the Mets and OR for a little while, but the Braves specifically, right? I mean, the Braves had 25 years of being available everywhere as a national team, right?
And
American
so the
team.
Orioles are a little more because they got Philadelphia right up the road. I mean, DC and the
Well, the
Nats aren't very
Nationals
good
thing, I
right now.
mean, that changed in your brother, since your brother's era. And that really was, Peter didn't get much right, but he said that if they split the markets, it would be difficult and certainly more difficult for Baltimore, which is why his family took all the extra money. And now none of it matters. They got all the money, the billion eights there, and we're now a tiny market. Like, that's really the truth.
It
That's the
is
way it
true.
worked
It
out.
is.
That's the math.
He was absolutely right with that. It is hard. And the Phillies are trying again. The Phillies have become good again.
Well, they're
And
a
I know
bank
back.
too. They're way different than what the Pirates or even some
Well,
winning teams are. I mean, the Phillies do real well.
yes. And they have a, and Philadelphia is a fanatical fan base, but Philadelphia is huge. People don't realize how big. When people think, oh, there's two professional sports teams in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. Philadelphia is like five times as big as Pittsburgh as population. It's not even close.
Yeah.
So you just don't realize this. And you're like, yeah, Dallas is in Texas, Houston's in
Well,
Texas.
that's all the more you're making the case right now, and I don't know where your brother is on this. I'd love to talk to him and all the old timers about it. Like, the case being made now is look at football, look at hockey, all the things that you and I argued about back in the 90s, back when your brother was off the market in 94 by the time I met you. I knew you before then. So, like, arguing about rich guys and really rich guys and billionaire owners. I mean, now we're in a different era of how much money they have and they could sustain, but also where the revenue's coming from. And every smart person I talk to, I have not heard Rob Manfred or any, certainly not Rubenstein, any of these people speak in a way that you, your brother, me would say, oh, I get your business model. It's cable television, ticket sales, franchise development, signs in the building, patches on the jerseys. I don't know, but like their distribution model for media is wildly broken. Their business model's wildly broken when the Dodgers and Yankees have gobs of money and nobody else does. And one of the real fundamental reasons NFL, NBA, and NHL have made it like this is because the Packers can win too, and the Florida Panthers can win the Stanley Cup, and so can the Winnipeg Jets, and Canada's a little different in hockey with the
I don't
money
know. Can
thing.
Winnipeg win?
And well, the Canada money thing's really problematic in that sport, in the same way that Towson State can't play football with Alabama. So, and nor would you expect them to, But somehow you expect the Tampa Rays and the Pittsburgh Pirates to keep up with the Yankees and the Dodgers. And
But
that's the, I
you
mean,
get
that's the
beyond
Adam
that
and
moment.
Eve, though, right? That's their Garden of Eden, is like next year they're going to go to war about it again. And they're going to say, take a salary cap. And the players are going to say, absolutely not, on the grave of Marvin Miller, I'm not doing that. And the salary floor was always the real issue, is how much money's in the industry and how that could be divided to make a better game, make it a better game. And nobody's thinking about that in college sports at all.
Well,
Is
I was
like
going to say,
that.
I mean, we just had, a 3-day debate about Notre Dame and should they've gotten in, and, Miami, should they've got, you look at how's Maryland football compete with Ohio State and Michigan, and no one cares there either. They don't have equal money, equal access, equal facilities.
And
It's not,
never will, and never will, right?
and it's still, and college football is, strong, like you, but then you get the Indianas of the world, who they figured it out, and it's always that, Texas A&M now again has figured it out, and there's always that
Figured it out.
caveat.
Find a rich guy with filthy money and throw it at you, and you get to win, right? That's
That's not how Indiana did it though. That's now that they've won, but there's always the opportunity. Like nobody, we all could have got rich betting that Toronto would have got to the World Series. And I saw the odds, like even in July, nobody believed in Toronto. And that's still the beauty of sports. When you get the right people and the right people healthy and the right people, and the Orioles have had chances, and it's, they haven't got lucky when they got there, and they haven't got the breaks. But I don't, I think, I mean, clearly every organization makes some bad decisions, but I think the snake bit, if we would have sat here 2 years ago and said, what do you think of Adley Rutschman? There's no one in Baltimore. There's no one in baseball that would have said, in a couple of years, it'll be decent, maybe. And when you are an organization, like if that would have happened to Vladimir Guerrero, where are the Blue Jays? If that would have happened to like the guys they were really counting on, where, but you have to get the guys that are supposed to be good have to be good, and the guys who you have to get lucky on their catcher, and I can't remember the guy who's 5'5" from Mexico, I can't think of his name. Nobody
Oh, I
knew,
love that guy.
Cal Raleigh, like they got, I mean, I know he's a good college player, but nobody knew what. And you even look at like Seattle, like Julio Rodriguez came out as a rookie and was this, and for 2 years, Julio Rodriguez wasn't very good. And then now he got it back again and he went 30-30 and he, but you know that, so it's really, really hard. And because the Orioles, because of where they are with the Yankees, Red Sox, they have such little margin for error. But I would just keep looking at Tampa Bay because somehow they always figure out a way to compete, and you come take Blake Snell away from, they still figure out a way to compete. And that should be the model that the Orioles, if the Orioles could emulate those guys, and it is rough. It is a rough place to be. And I don't know how many great, successful managers, general managers, like you got to find the up and comers like they did at Indiana football, because there's no old retired guy who's taken on that job because it's just so daunting.
Alejandro Kirk, by the way,
Yes.
might be favorite player.
What a great story he is. And I remember watching, because how much have you seen the Blue Jays? You get into the playoffs, you're like, why is this guy hitting fifth? How good can their lineup be if this squatty little catcher's hitting fifth? And then you watch play, you're like, oh, that's why.
That dude might be
Because
going to the
he's
Hall of
good.
Fame, right? Yeah,
He can
absolutely.
hit.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Messina is here. He'll always be in my Hall of Fame, as well. County Commissioner up in PA. Always good to visit with you, man. It was a windy. We didn't even talk about like Tom Kiefer doing M3. We haven't talked any music. We
I
I
thought you
got
were gonna
Gina
make fun
Schott
of my
coming out
Steely
next.
Dan comment, but I was all ready.
Dude, you missed the mark on some music. That's all I'm going to say. Like
I don't.
Being from a small town really hindered your college rock sensibilities of the late 80s. That's all I'm going to
I,
say.
the, there are the great bands that everyone had, I'm a rock and roll guy through and through. I do not get Steely Dan. I don't get, I heard you say perfect for Sunday morning, I guess. Like if you play it on Saturday
Do
night,
you
you're gonna
not
fall
like
asleep.
jazz music or just like, because you like country and I don't, so that there's a
I like
delineator that you're in a lane that I'm not in.
there's some good country music. There's some good country stuff.
Name something that you think is really good.
In country?
Yeah.
Oh, Garth Brooks had.
Okay, but that's 30 years ago. I'm talking about now.
Oh, well,
You're
I
not
don't know.
going to Morgan Wallen and doing one of those. You're not doing any of that, right?
I will tell you this. Do you know the song 98 Braves?
No.
When you're done with me,
Okay.
you go Google
Oh God, give me a.
98
That's what I
Braves.
wanted. I wanted you to give me a country song. Now I don't want you to give me one. But go ahead.
No, you will. It is my favorite country song of all time because it's
By
about.
whom?
I think it's
Who?
Morgan Wallen.
Okay, go ahead. 98. What is it? 98. What?
98 Braves. It's about the Atlanta Braves in 1998.
Oh, it is
And
by Morgan Wallen. Oh, so it's a baseball song. Okay.
you will love it. It's so good. And you have to be old. Like I'm sure kids nowadays who like they love Morgan Wallen. They're like, what's this song? You'll listen to it one time and you'll love it.
I remember your brother getting a hit off the 97 Braves first time he batted, so I remember that. That's pretty good, right? Is that
He had a double off John Smoltz. His one career extra base hit was off a Hall of Famer.
first time he batted too, right? Yeah.
I don't know.
All
I
right.
don't remember that. But he hit it over the left fielder's
You
head.
remember everything else about your brother's career, and that's fine. You remember you
I don't
have
remember if it was his first at
photographic
bat.
memory about the Dallas Cowboys. Mark Messina is here. He is still up in Pennsylvania doing the good work. Hey, Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays to you, to your
Yeah,
kids, your
to you as well.
family. Your brother, your mom, dad, everybody up there, and the Little League team, and all that stuff. I miss you, man. Let's go get a concert together, all right?
Absolutely.
I think Lancaster's halfway. He is Mark Messina. I'm out doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Raven scratch offs to give away. Also, going to do the candy cane scratch offs, which they're going to make my bag smell like peppermints by the time I get to Costas next week. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.